Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the Week 17 loss to the Rams and the 2018 season for our final podcast of the year. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information.
We went through some tough things this year, and I look back on it, and with the stuff we went through, are you going to have a great record? You have a chance to, but odds are it's going to be tough. We only won four games. I'm not happy with that, despite what's happened. I believe, specifically going through the games and everything, I think we should have won seven. And so I'm down about that. And that's what I'm upset with myself for, and trying to find a way to get those games that you could have won a couple of those close games that you feel as a coach, just watching the tape going into the game, that you should have done. And that's how I'll look at it every year. And when you, I think when you should make the playoffs, you know that. And you get disappointed if you don't.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. And Steve, our final podcast of the season ends up with a 4-12 season for the 49ers. Nobody expected that when the season started, but those injuries were a killer. And I agree with what Kyle was saying. You know, you kind of expected them to win a few more games there, those close ones that they just couldn't pull out. The last game of the season was not one of them, but you know, overall the season, you know, I'd have to say it was disappointing, and mostly because of the injuries. What do you think?
No question. And I thought they had a chance to salvage it here at the end when they, you know, defense especially started playing really well the last four or five games. And I thought that if they could get to 6-10, it would have salvaged some of it, considering all the injuries. Unfortunately, the way they finished on Sunday was not good. But even listening to Kyle, you know, right away made me think back to had a chance to win the Minnesota game, you know, early in the beginning of the season. Should have won two Cardinal games that they let get away from them. So right there, yeah, that's 7 wins that he's referring to.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants game. I mean, they had some leads where they
Giants
they,
game.
Yeah, they
yep.
gave them up.
Yeah.
This time around against the Rams, they just got off to such a terrible start. I mean, the fumble to start it out, Juszczyk on the first drive, you know, trying to get the first down there. Second
yeah.
drive, Mullen's arm gets hit and then ends up into being an interception. So less than 5 minutes into the game, it's 14-0, and that's hard to overcome.
It is, and especially against a really good team. And it's, you know, the negative turnover ratio is – been something we've talked about all year, and I don't know what it ended up at, but we were they were talking about it during the telecast.
-25
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
-25 They were talking about it during the telecast, though, that it might that it was could tie a record for the lowest. And you had mentioned it last week, the lowest turnovers on defense.
Yeah, they did get that record.
Yeah. So, and it was only seven, right?
They ended up with, I think you're right, I think it was seven, takeaways on the whole year.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that you're not completely there talent-wise yet, and then you don't, you know, then you don't have many takeaways. That's you're not helping yourself. And yeah, -25 on the turnover ratio. That's not gonna that doesn't bode well for more wins.
No, and they had, it was seven takeaways, yeah, and it was two interceptions total, which, yeah, it's just not going to work for you.
Wow.
And then, you know, turning the ball over on offense doesn't help the defense as well. I mean, that's why the 49ers gave up so many points, I think, as a team. And, you know, one of those turnovers was, in, and there were a couple of bad throws by Mullins. He ended up with three picks, but one of them he just threw into double coverage, and I know he was trying to get it to Kittle a lot. He ends up breaking the tight end record, but he was trying to jam it in there in a double coverage, and then that ends up in into an interception.
Yeah, that was that was one of the few that I thought he really that he's really tried to force. I think he ended up playing what, six games, seven games. I thought one of the things that he did really well was, you know, was distribute the ball and get it to the open guy. Take what the defense has given him, and not trying to force it in. So that was an unfortunate one. Yeah, obviously they were trying to get Kittle the ball and get him as many catches and as many yards as possible, and that ended up working out very nicely in the at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the pick six that he threw, Mullins was—he seemed like he was sort of staring down some receivers. And you know, he's a young quarterback; he's learning. And I wondered how do you avoid that? I mean, I'm sure throughout your career, Steve, you had to learn about that in college at UCLA, and then in the NFL, and how different that is—that you can't stare down the receivers. It's a tough thing to learn, isn't it?
It is, and especially in the NFL, where the guys are so quick and so reactive. And he did definitely stare that one down when they show the replay, and you can see what he does with his eyes. And you know, he'll obviously get better at it. He's had seven games under his belt now, and you know, it's looking through linebackers at safeties. You know, knowing kind of where linebackers have to go depending on what safeties are doing. You know, if you end up with a middle safety, then you have to be able to see are linebackers chasing a receiver playing man, you know, or chasing a back or a tight end playing man, or are they, you know, dropping into zones, and that's you know, something that comes with experience and film study, and he'll definitely get better at it.
And I guess if you know where your receivers are and you're looking another direction on purpose to throw off the defense, there's a, you know, a certain skill level and, again, the experience to be able to come back to that spot where you're going to throw the ball, because eventually you are going to look there.
Right, right. Eventually you are. And it's, and it, you know, as the more and more you play, the obviously the better that you get at it. And then you start staring at guys that, You might stare at the guy you're going to, but then move your eyes, you know, in kind of your second shuffle, and uh-huh. then come back to that guy just to get a safety to think, oh no, he's just trying to look me this way, and then he's going to go back the other side, you know, and it's just a cat and mouse game, and safeties, obviously, you know, as they get more experience, they learn what guys do from a quarterback standpoint, so. I mean, I think the ultimate in it right now is Brady. I mean, he's looking people off and, you know, knowing where he's going before he ever goes there, just depending on, you know, what you did in front of him.
Back with Steve in a moment. Let's hear what 49ers general manager John Lynch had to say about the 2018 season and some of the positives.
We fell far short of our expectations within our team this year, and that's what's most important, our expectations. We fell short of those, but, you know, I've always been taught that you look for the positives, and I think there are some positives from this season. We got to see a lot of different people play. We got to see a lot of different players who we might have not, and see what they're all about. And that's the only way to truly evaluate guys in this league, to see them actually play NFL football games. We got that opportunity. You could see the young guys kind of push some of the veteran players. And, you know, it's just it's another reminder, something we've always known, that competition brings the best out in everyone. And that's the environment we want heading into this offseason. And the way you do that, you continue to add good quality players and good quality people.
Lynch and head coach Kyle Shanahan talked about the issue of takeaways that we were talking about earlier And here's what they said earlier this week.
I've never been in a building where turnovers are so emphasized. We talk about it on a weekly basis. We have different people come up, give presentations. So I can guarantee you that, and I can also guarantee you we'll look at every possible solution. I'm doing it up in personnel. We're trying to find people who have a history, a propensity to take the ball away, and we'll continue to do that. But, you know, I really think as we continue to put these pieces together, it will happen. We started to see it happen against Chicago. You started to see the ball. Some of them didn't break our way, but you know, I think our guys got the point that, you know, once you get it going, it's like an avalanche. Now they start just falling to you. But at first, you got to take it away. And we started to see that progress. And we wish it could have happened more. Obviously, not something we're proud of, but we need to improve there.
I do think we emphasize turnover so much that I noticed, and I'm sure you guys did too. I think at the beginning of the year, a lot of our guys went for too many turnovers, and we weren't as good at tackling.
Yeah.
You got to, once you see that, all right, let's go back to step one. Let's make sure we tackle. We'll worry about turnovers later. And I think we do have good tacklers on our team. I don't think we played that way early on. And just as coaches, you see we're going for the ball way too much. Like we got to tackle better, and we'll worry about that secondary. I think we did get better at tackling. I think we finished that pretty well when we were going through that. And once that does happen, guys aren't going for the ball as much. But you can do both. But it's not easy. All right? You got to get better at it. You got to get more experience at it. There's a lot of savvy veterans in this league who know how to poke the ball out, but also make the tackle too. And I think a lot of our guys, what they went through this year, hopefully have learned both ways, and that'll make them better next year.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan and general manager John Lynch. 49ers Extra continues right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park, in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. After you've seen Mullins, for a number of games, and you got to see a little bit, not as much maybe as CJ would like, but Beathard, you know, you got to see a little bit of him. What do you think about the competition for that backup spot for next season?
It'll be healthy, and it's going to bring out the best in all of them. That's for sure. I said before that I think that Mullins, you know, he seems to throw a more catchable ball. He's a little more of a traditional motion than CJ. Seems to be a little bit of a pusher of the ball, but you know, it's they're gonna the quarterback position might have the best competition of the whole training camp next year. They have three guys that can play. Obviously, we know who the starter is going to be because of what he's getting paid. But I think their competition will make all of them better next season. You know, and what I was going to say with that was that I would still love to see Kyle hire an offensive coordinator, an experienced one. It doesn't necessarily have to be the person that's calling plays. Obviously, Kyle's going to call plays. But I think it would be I think ideally it would be someone who could help with quarterbacks. I'd like to see somebody with more experience helping those guys a little more. They you know, there's just certain things that all three of them were doing that I don't think they're being taught.
That's interesting. I mean, how many NFL teams have an offensive coordinator that doesn't call the plays? That's pretty unique, right?
It is pretty unique. But not that it hasn't ever happened. When I was in Green Bay, we had an offensive coordinator, but Holmgren always called the plays.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it hasn't happened before. But I just think it's somebody that could help Kyle more. In game preparation and film study, and also help the quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I mean, I definitely think that that could help a lot. The one thing that you do notice, I'm sure you agree, Steve, is that the concepts that Kyle Shanahan has are really good. I mean,
oh, no question.
Right? I mean, the
really
play
good.
Calling is good, and the concepts.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it's he mixes the run, pass, play action, movement. You know, really well, and it benefits everyone. The ball's getting moved around. You know, keeping defenses off balance. I like his play calling a lot. I just, like I said, I think that he can help himself and help the quarterbacks and help the offense in general.
One of the best plays I thought of the entire season happened in this Rams game, Week 17. It was George Kittle, and we'll talk about him in a minute, but it was him playing like he was dead, you know, like going to the ground, then getting up, and that was just a great play. I mean, he gets up, and, you know, it's a touchdown. So
yeah.
That kind of stuff is really fun to see.
Right, and I think that play was from on the television. I couldn't see all of it, but I think that was an old but, you know, Bill Walsh play, fake 22, fake double screen, wide check middle, and where that's exactly what, you know, tight end would slip down, you know, fake the screen, fake the kind of quick screen to the backs both ways, and then come back and there's the tight end, you know, making linebackers run with the backs widen, and then the tight end comes right into the middle.
And that, yeah, and that led to a touchdown. That actually wasn't a touchdown catch,
right.
But it led to a touchdown.
Touchdown, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fun play.
It was. That was a great play.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the touchdown that he did score, that was on the one that broke the record. They were intent on getting him that record. It was interesting because, Steve, I was in Kansas City, and I saw Travis Kelce.
He
breaks the Gronkowski record, and then George Kittle later on in the day, he breaks Kelce's record. So he has the tight end record at 1,377 yards in
yards.
A season.
Yeah.
Great accomplishment.
Yeah, it was. And I didn't even realize that Kelce had broken it, obviously, because we were watching, you know, I was watching the 49er game, I guess the Chiefs, the Chiefs game was on here because it was the Raiders, but I didn't even realize he broke it, and then when I saw it, obviously they knew, the Niners knew, because then they ran that play and cleared out the left side to get Kittle that catch, and then, of course, and he takes it in for a touchdown, and breaks the record.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It was neat. He's had a great year.
Oh, what a year. I mean, you know, no matter who the quarterback is, they're going to be looking for Kittle a lot next year because of everything he does. I mean, the route running, his hands, I mean, how tough he is after the catch. I mean, he just seems to have it all.
Yeah. I mean, I would think both of those guys end up as, you know, first team all pro and second team all pro. I don't know which one ends up first team, but he and Kelce have had terrific years.
Yeah, they're both great tight ends.
Yeah, yeah, definitely fun to watch.
Yeah,
and you need that, you know, in the kind of version of the West Coast offense that Kyle runs. And no matter what version of it is, I guess is what I should say, that you have to have a great tight end, you know, somebody that can get down the middle and hold safeties and be able to block and run crossing routes and do all kinds of stuff. So it's fun to see. And we talked about last week that I think Kittle, you know, along with Goodwin and Pettis and Bourne, Taylor, I mean, that's your nucleus of receivers next year, tight ends and wideouts.
Yeah, and then the running backs. I mean, Matt Breida was really good this year. Just loved watching him play.
I mean,
you know, Wilson did a nice job for a guy who was on the practice squad. And if you get McKinnon back, I mean, you're looking at a, you know, pretty deep running back core. I'm not sure if Alfred Morris will be back, even though he had a really good game, Week 17, 111 yards.
Yeah, and you add in Raheem Mostert.
I liked Mostert too.
I mean, they've got a pretty good crew at running back, and if they can keep a couple of them healthy, they could be really good.
Yeah, and they ran the ball well. I mean, that shows that the offensive line did a pretty good job. I mean, do you see them upgrading in any area there on the offense? What's a priority, I think?
That's a really good question. I mean, I'm assuming they'll have the number two pick. Is that right?
They have the number two pick. Yeah, that's what it is.
So,
yep.
I don't know what – I mean, we won't know until that moment what John does, but my thought is – you know, can he trade down and get two picks like he did with Solomon and Foster?
Foster, right?
So that would be in my mind ideal. You know, and can he? Otherwise, it's a number two pick. Is there? You know, is the next Joe Staley out there? Is there another McGlinchey out there? You know, that you could make the number two pick, or is there, you know, the next Eric Wright as a defensive back out there? You know, that obviously they need more guys back in the defensive secondary.
Definitely, yeah.
You
I
know,
agree
is
with
there
that.
Is there another Reuben Foster at linebacker? Even though I think Warren stepped up and played really well, I liked him
from the
beginning of the year. Warner, excuse me. I liked him from the beginning of the year when he played early on for Reuben, so he got a lot of experience. So those would be the three spots in my mind that they would go. Obviously, it's not going to be a quarterback. I don't think it would be a running back. You know, maybe there's a, you know, maybe the next Jerry Rice is out there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think pass rusher seems to be a real priority. You know, yeah, Buckner had 12 sacks. That was good.
Yeah. I mean, I just think there you've used, you know, three number one picks in a row at defensive lineman.
Right.
With Buckner and Armstead and Thomas.
Right.
So I don't necessarily seeing that happen. Plus, it seems like some of those young guys that they got this year, the kid from Temple, there's a couple other, I can't think of their names, but a couple other guys that, younger guys that seemed to, ended up getting a lot of playing time and seemed to have played pretty well.
Yeah, I think that there's improvement there. They probably could use a little more. I mean, definitely the defense to me is where they need to concentrate on the improvement, even though they did get better. And, you know, I think Robert Saleh saved his job by the way they played near the end. I mean, you know, it seemed like they just were better than they were the first half of the season.
No question. Yeah, I agree. And especially the last four or five games, I thought they played really well. Those three home games, they played extremely well.
And like John Lynch was saying earlier about the turnover margin being a problem there, I mean, they're really focused on that. I don't know if that's how you get players. You know, you look at personnel based on that, you know, as far as interceptions and creating fumbles. I mean, it's definitely going to be an emphasis after what happened this season because, I mean, it's just almost embarrassing to have, as we said, seven takeaways.
Yeah, and I think it will come as – especially the secondary. Well, the secondary and the linebackers get more experience, and they can take a little bit more calculated risk. I think, especially in the secondary, you just had so many young guys that they're trying to do the right thing and play the schemes, but they're not comfortable enough yet to, you know when to take that calculated risk.
Exactly.
And that's where the interceptions come. And suckering a quarterback into making a throw that he shouldn't.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Knowing when to step in there at the right moment.
Yeah.
So let's think about some of the free agents. First of all, one of them that I really think they got to get back is Robbie Gould, the kicker. He's so dependable that you never even talk about him. He never misses anything. I think he missed three field goals in his 49ers career. So I don't know. I mean, as far as money and all that, but it seems like you got to get him back.
I would think he would be a priority. You know, whether or not he comes back, you know, I don't know, because I know his family still lives in Chicago, and that can't be easy. So I would think, though, from the 49ers' perspective, that you have to re-sign him.
I hope so.
It's, you know, was he 34 for 35?
I think this
so
year, yeah.
So you're
like
talking 102 points. Is that right? Did I do that math right quickly? 100. Yeah.
I think you might be right on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a lot of points.
Yeah, you know. I mean, the guy's just
even though we need
amazing.
To get better in the red zone.
Yeah. Let's see. And in his career with the 49ers, 72 of 75.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's 216. Yeah, that's 216 points. That's a lot.
Yeah, so he did a great job. Some other free agents to think about. Well, I mentioned Morris. I don't know if they'll have him back. He's getting older. Mostert is a restricted free agent. So those are a couple of guys.
I think Mostert, I think you get him back. He's a really good special teams player. Plus, I think he proved himself that he can, you know, that he could run the ball too.
Right, he did, and I mean, yeah, he had some explosive runs. I thought Jimmy Ward and Anton Exum—they're both defensive backs that are free agents, and you know, I'm not sure. I mean, there's a lot of question marks. I think in the secondary.
In the secondary, I would agree. I'm not sure what would happen there. I know that Jaquaski Tartt has gotten better as a player. It, you know, was not 100% by any stretch. During the season, but I would think that, you know, he's the guy at safety. He really seems to have become a pretty good player. Sherman, I'm sure, is, you know, he's still going to be there because he's another coach for all those young guys.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well having him.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, he's seems to have lost a half a step, but he can overcome that with his experience, which is exactly what he did this year.
Oh yeah. By the way, I mentioned Exum, and he had an unnecessary roughness on a defenseless receiver, which, man, I mean, it just kind of drives me crazy. It was on Robert Woods. It's just that rule. I understand that, you know, they go, if you go back to when Darryl Stingley got paralyzed, you know, back in 1978 in that preseason game, you think about that, Jack Tatum hit him. You never want to see that. But I'll tell you, I don't know that Ronnie Lott could even play today.
He could not.
He flagged on every play, right?
He could not.
Yeah.
And that hit, I didn't think that was a good call.
He used his shoulder.
Exactly. Exactly. I get,
it wasn't a helmet to helmet, but I guess they want you to wrap the receiver up and not use your shoulder. I mean, it's still the NFL.
I thought it was a good hit. I didn't think that should have been called.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL's got some issues as far as they're trying to be safe, but at the same time, you know, you're just diluting the game. I don't know. It's going to be difficult going forward.
Yeah, the two in that Sugar Bowl game last night at the end. I mean, I thought they had those two backwards, but that's my opinion. They need to figure it out. They need to keep refining it, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely think that.
It's probably the best way to put it.
All right, so it's time to figure out who's going to be in the Super Bowl. I'm not really sure who's going to win the Super Bowl, but I'm going Bears Chiefs. And for two different reasons. Bears, because their defense is really good. They don't make mistakes. Chiefs, because I just think they could outscore everybody, and they've got the home field advantage all the way through.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's tough this year. There's a lot of teams that can win.
I think the Chiefs is a pretty good call. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people would expect, just because they can outscore everybody. Some of those plays from Sunday, holy mackerel. But I think in the NFC, New Orleans is going to be hard to beat in the dome.
And they have the home field. Yeah, they're number one
seed. They have the home
field.
They're built for the dome. Their defense is good. I don't think it's as good as obviously the Bears or the Rams, but they're going to be tough in the dome. So I wouldn't count that out.
No. Yeah, you mentioned that Rams defense. Aaron Donald, man, he
wow.
He is something to watch when you hear about him all the time, but when you see a couple of games against the Niners.
Yeah. Oh. So there were a couple plays. I thought he was offsides. He was so quick off the ball. He wasn't, but he was so quick off the ball.
Well, as a quarterback, you know that guy is there. I mean, I don't know. Were there a couple that you remember
you got to use your snap count because that's the only way to slow those guys down. You got to get them jumping and fidgety and just keeping them off balance.
Was there that one or two guys though that you remember?
Oh, I'm sure. In my era, I would say Sapp.
Yeah, Warren Sapp.
Even Chester McLaughlin.
In the backfield.
Prime, I mean, he could get off the ball. John Randall. He was, he was always right there, angled on the nose, on the center, just ready to dive through that gap.
Yeah.
So.
And those are the guys that make an impact. I mean, Donald's going to make a major impact in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah. I mean, because you have to account for him.
But you've got Saints, and then you think Chiefs.
I think so. In the AFC, and I just think that the advantage for the Saints in playing in the dome is probably greater than maybe if Chicago had home field advantage.
Yeah, the Bears don't, so it's going to probably – that'll definitely hurt their chances a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to it.
There'll be some good games, hopefully.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Well, Steve, it's been a pleasure talking to you every week on these 49ers podcasts. Wish it was a better season, but hopefully next season will be. And I know the Niners are working really hard at that.
Yeah, they will. And it's always fun to talk about them. And we all want them to do better.
Absolutely. Happy New Year, Steve. And talk to you next season.
All right.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Want to thank him for joining us every week here on thesportsvirus.com during the NFL season. And want to thank you for listening. And remember, we still have our Warriors Dubs OT podcast that are being updated every week featuring Ray Woodson. And then in the spring, starting with spring training, our Giants Inside China Basin podcast will be back as well. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.